greet you all in the worthy name of Jesus Christ this morning. Just marvel at God's power, God's all-wise and all-knowing knowledge, the ability that God has to put together thoughts from different people for a common cause. And thank you for your prayers this morning, and I covet your prayers as we go through the rest of this morning, and that the ultimate goal here is that all might be added into that choir, that final choir, that we praise God in the eternal kingdom. I thought it really interesting that where Lauren stopped this morning, that's where I planned to stop as well. So and the devotions about the unjust servant and how he did wisely, and how that our efforts of love to each other reflect this wise servant's the same actions that he took were to of love for his fellow man. And all about in the Sunday school lesson was all about service as well. This was about 2 weeks ago. I stopped at the cemetery at Deming, and there's a bench there. There's a bench there. The bench was dedicated to the coach. I don't know if he was a football coach or if he was a basketball coach, but he was a coach here in Deming. And on the bench it said, "If love could have saved you, you would have lived forever." Then we know, as Christians, we know that, and as mankind in general, we know that there's not enough love in this world for a person that he's not going to die, that he's going to live forever. But as I thought about that, I thought about a love that we as mankind, as Christians, can have, that we can live forever. There's life forever for us. And as I thought about this, my first verse that I came upon was the fact that in 1 Corinthians 6:17 it says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." So part of this love is we need to be joined unto the Lord as into one spirit. So the spirit that joins us to the Lord is that spirit of love. Now, as I studied to talk about this, I found that the scriptures had a whole lot more good thoughts than I had. So we'll read some scriptures and I'll make a few comments. But there's a lot of scripture that documents that there's a love that can help us or have us live forever. One of the first things I did, I looked in the dictionary about love, and I found there was 9 different definitions about love in the dictionary, in Webster Dictionary. But there was only one that had a feeling of God and a feeling of a two-way feeling, being from man to God and from God to man. And that was, it said, the kindly feeling of benevolence of God for human beings, or the reverent devotional devotions due from them or from man to God, or the kindly affections they should have one for another. It was a thought of, there was, the love was a two-way. It was back and forth from man to man or from God to man. First thing I'd like to look at is in 1 Corinthians, what Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians 12, Brother Sim, when he was here a few weeks ago, talked about this. I'm going to start briefly here in 1 Corinthians 12 and then go on to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 12 is about the body or the church. And if we look down here in verse, I'll just pick out a couple verses here, verse 12 and through 14. For as the body is one and many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. He's talking about here how the membership or the body of the church is a one body, members of Christ. And we're going over into verse 27 and 8. It says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities, and tongues. So it's saying here that God has set the members, and they're all good. And in verse 31, he says, but covet earnestly the best gift. But the phrase that I wanted to get out of chapter 12 here is the last phrase. And he says, Paul says, yet shew I unto you a more excellent gift. He says here, covet earnestly within the membership the best gifts. But he says, yet, Paul says, there's a more excellent way. And then he goes into the love chapter 13. And as we go down across the love chapter here, I'm going to read it and then make some comments. We can see that love is an action word. Love is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is an action word. It brings action. I had to think about some years ago, I met my neighbor, an Amish neighbor, and he said he had some German people visiting. He said, we knew Pennsylvania Dutch, but these were German people. And I said, well, how did you get along? And he said, well, the adults struggled communicating, but the children got along fine. He said the children had a common language, and that common language being kindness and love and a smile. And the children got along a lot better than the adults. So it's that love is a universal. It's a universal action. It can be read not only by our Christian brethren, it can be read by all those around us as we go about our duties. Just one, I'll read 1 Corinthians 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tingling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity wanteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is come, but when that is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, and these three, but the greatest of these is charity. My Bible says in the RV that we can interchange this word charity for love, and I think it fits well here that the word charity in this chapter also means, could be used the word love substituted all the way down through it. First verse says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, becometh a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. You know, if we speak in tongues and no one interprets, I think Paul speaks somewhere a couple chapters later here, if we speak in tongues and no one interprets, it benefits us nothing. I know I hear Spanish people talking and I just don't understand it, so it doesn't benefit me a thing. I think he's also talking here about the fact that if we say something, we will deliver. If we say I'm going to meet you at 10 o'clock, we're going to deliver. If we're Christians, we're going to deliver because of love's sake. We're going to be there. Because when we don't keep a word, we soon become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal, and nobody can really understand. We're not understood, and our words become as nothing when we don't deliver what we said we're going to deliver. Verse 2 says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I shall have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And we can read another scripture about if we have the faith of a seed of a mustard seed, we could remove mountains. So if we had the ability to the faith of a mustard seed, he's talking about there. Mustard seed is it's the smallest of all seeds, and it grows into a large bush. I think it says there, and I've seen that, and it's interesting, but. It's by faith that the seed springs forth out of the ground. But I think if what he's talking about here is if you and I had the faith that we could move the Florida mountains, if we done it for the right reason, if we done it for the right reason, if we done it for the love of God, if we done it for the love of our fellow man, but if we did it for a selfish motive, it's of no avail. That would be an extreme faith. There's many small faiths that we can have. And as long as we're using our faith to do these things for the right reason, then God gets the honor and God gets the glory. It can show God's love for our fellow man. He says, verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. He's saying here, you know, if we can give everything that we have to feed the poor, but if our motive for feeding the poor is not for the benefit of the poor or the benefit of God, then we get no credit or no the love. God's love doesn't shine through to the people that we're helping unless we do it for God's honor and God's glory. Though I give my body to be burned, we can read there that in to the god of Moloch, I believe it was, they sacrificed they burnt their children for sacrifices. And we can give many, many sacrifices. That would be an extreme sacrifice, but we can do many sacrifices. But if we don't do any if we don't do the sacrifice to the honor and the glory of God, or for the love of God, or for the love of our fellow man, it profiteth nothing. Then we go into verse 4. Yeah, I want to bring in yet one thought about in this chapter, in verse 3, about in Psalms 51:16, the psalmist says about the Lord, he says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, wilt thou not despise." Then we go on into verse 4. In my Bible, on the side column, says the marks of love. The marks what does love look like in our life? What does love look like? And he says here, verse 4, it says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity wanteth not itself," or "charity envieth not." "Charity wanteth not itself, is not puffed up." I think he's talking up here about when we go to teach Christianity to those around about us, and well, our families as well, we need to be patient. We teach in long suffering. Sometimes when we continue to witness to those in our community, it takes much patience, much long suffering to draw our fellow man unto Christ. He also says here, "not puffed up." I think that's saying, well, pride and arrogance is not a part of love. Pride and arrogance is a selfish motive. Verse 5, "doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." Now I think when we come provoked in situations, we get angry, we can always see an underlying motive that's selfish. So when we seek not our own, we're not easily provoked. But it's when we're seeking our own benefits, when things don't go our way, that's when we come provoked. "Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth." How do we rejoice in iniquity? I think that rejoicing in iniquity here is talking about when we see someone that's somewhat living in sin, and we'd kind of like to do those same things. That's when we rejoice in the fact that, well, yeah, I'd kind of like to do that myself. The Christian doesn't rejoice in those situations. The Christian's concerned about those. The Christian rejoices in the truth. And if we see someone in iniquity or sin, we get opportunity, we'll speak out on that on behalf of the Christ in this. Verse 7, "beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." When we're laborers together with Christ, we're willing to endure suffering and ridicule, or somebody mocking us. Verse 8 says, Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail; whether there be tongues, they shall cease; whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. He's talking about here when Christ cometh, perfect one. I say Isaiah 60:19 says the sun shall be no more. And Isaiah is talking about here about Christ coming, and it also pertains to the eternal kingdom for us. Isaiah 60:19 says the sun shall no more thy light, but the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give her light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The prophecy here was in Isaiah, but for the coming of Christ. But today, this is the coming of the eternal kingdom for us, where there will be no more need of the sun, there will be no more need of the moon, but Christ shall be that eternal life, or that eternal light in the eternal kingdom. Verse 13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. I'd like to look at a couple other scriptures here that kind of show forth what I'm thinking, and that is, let's go to 1 John 3. It says the sonship of the believers. 1 John 3, and I'm going to read the first 10 verses. John says here, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So he's talking here about love, the hope of him being the hope of Jesus, the hope of God being love. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that hath committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever hath not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Couple thoughts there. That first verse there is, behold, the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And it should not be a surprise to us when we enter into the world or among the world, that sometimes the world just doesn't understand us. is if the love of Christ and the love of our fellow man is within our hearts, the world just isn't going to understand some of the things that we do and some of the ways that we act. But I believe if that love of God's within our hearts, it will shine out to the world. And by and by, when we are a part of this world, the world will eventually understand what we stand for and where we stand, and that the love of God can shine out from us to them. I believe we should continue to teach the love of God to those that we meet on the highway of life, even though many times they won't understand. Verse 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law." The law here meaning the law of love. For sin is a transgression of that law of love. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, it says here, even as he is righteous, meaning God is righteous or Christ is righteous. And the last part there says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So see there, it's pretty important that we just love those round about us, but we love our brother as well. And it's been pretty obvious in my life, those people that we work side by side every day closely with, we get to see them on the inside. God says, but we need to continue to love them. Now, the love of God also means sometimes we instruct them. And if we are lovers of God and our brother's love of God, then instruction from God isn't difficult. Then there's a verse over here in chapter 4, 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God. Chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but in that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. So we can't love God enough. We can't love God enough that we shall live forever. It's through God's love for us. God first loved us, sent his only begotten Son to die for us, that we, through him, might have eternal life. Now I'd like to go to John 15, where Lorne read and finish up a few thoughts from there. And thank you for those thoughts, Lorne. They were down the lines that I was thinking. And I'm going to read some of that again. But I'm going to start John 15 and start at verse 9 and read through verse 13. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 9, he's saying, as the Father has loved me, so love I you. This is Jesus' words here. As the Father loved me, so love I you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, your love shall abide. Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, I don't know how I think this is difficult for us. I mean, it says that this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And if we study the scripture and we see what great love God had or Jesus had for man here, gave his whole life for man. But he's saying, if you love me, then you're going to love your brother as well. You're going to love one another as God loved you. Mark 12, 30 through 31, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second one is like unto, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. I think as mankind, we can struggle with this job the rest of our life. And I do believe that if we look to God and ask him for help, we can attain unto this. Another little couple verses I'd like to look at in John 17. John 17, verse 20, 20 through 22. In Jesus' high priestly prayer here, he says, John 17, 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art one, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, this is Jesus writing, that the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, meaning given us, the same glory which thou gavest me, saying to God, the same glory that thou gavest me, I have given them, which is us, that they, which is being us, may be one, even as we are one. And I marvel at this verse time after time. It says that they may be one, speaking to us or the church, even as we are one. Jesus was praying this prayer to God, saying that we as a church may have such a love for each other, same as we are one, that God and Christ together. So it behooves us that we love one another, that we I believe if we have that spirit of love, that spirit, that same spirit, I believe if that same spirit is within us, that Christ and God had, then we can be part of that eternal kingdom and we can live forever. Let's pray.